Second Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. And it came to pass after this that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them some of the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. The Moabites and the Ammonites are both cousins of the Israelites, because they are both the children of Lot, who was the nephew of Abraham. However, they are practicing pagans, and they wanted to fight, and off and on throughout history, they would fight Israel. 2. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, from Aram, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, the same as En-Gedi." The place called En-Gedi, which still exists today, was also called Hazazon Tamar. And masses of soldiers are coming. 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek unto the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. He told all of the people in Judah to fast and pray, and they obeyed him, which is really beautiful. Imagine if a king or a president today told all of the people to fast and pray. And when he was afraid, he looked immediately to the Lord for help. And that's what you and I should do. Fear is a sin. What takes away our fear is immediately looking to the only person who can help us, who is the Lord. 4. And Judah gathered themselves together to seek help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. They were fasting and praying, gathering near Jerusalem. They were coming out of their houses and gathering together to pray. This is a really beautiful scene. There's a verse in the Bible that says that God is close to the brokenhearted. There's another verse that says, if my people will humble themselves. Humbling in the Bible in the physical sense means fasting. If my people will humble themselves and pray and repent of their sins, then I will help them. There's also another verse that says, if you seek the Lord, you will find him. And if you draw near to him, he will draw near to you, is in another verse. So there's lots of verses in the Bible that talk about the need for us to seek the Lord. 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. He stood in front of the temple, in front of all of the people that were gathered in Jerusalem to fast and pray with him. 6. And he said, O Lord, so he's praying in front of the people. O Lord, the God of our fathers, art not thou alone God in heaven? And art not thou ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in thy hand is power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee. Ultimately, God is the ruler of the entire universe. He created it. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody is following God, but if you aren't obeying the Lord, he will allow you to sin, but ultimately, it will work out his own will. In that sense, he is in control of everybody, even though he allows us to sin and turn our backs on him. And Jehoshaphat says he is the only God, which is absolutely true. 7. Didst not thou, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? 8. And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying. Now, here in this verse, Jehoshaphat is talking about the Israelites. 9. If evil come upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before thee, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, and thou wilt hear and save. These are the very words of King Solomon, which God also affirmed to Solomon when he came to Solomon in a dream. They both were in agreement that if the people of Israel repent of their sins and look toward the temple, that no matter where they are in Jerusalem, if they face the temple and pray, or if they go to the temple and pray, he will answer their prayer. And this is exactly what the people are doing. The people who can't travel are coming out of their houses and facing Jerusalem to fast and pray. And the people who can travel have actually gone to Jerusalem to fast and pray before the temple. 10. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned aside from them and destroyed them not. 11. Behold, they render unto us evil to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. It says that God forbid the Israelites to attack the Ammonites and the Moabites when they first entered Canaan in the outskirts of Canaan, because after all, the Ammonites and the Moabites are their relatives. But now their own relatives, who are the children of Lot, are coming after them to attack them. 12, O our God, wilt thou not execute judgment on them? For we have no might against this great multitude that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. That happened when they first entered Canaan, and God told them not to attack their cousins who were on the outskirts. But over time, their cousins attacked them anyway. 12, O our God, wilt thou not execute judgment on them? For we have no might against this great multitude that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Jehoshaphat is saying, they're way too many for us to fight. You're the only one who can help us, Lord. And we've done nothing wrong, so please help us. 13, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. So even the children and the wives were out praying to God. Now, not all of them would be able to fast, because a pregnant woman or a nursing woman and an infant wouldn't be able to fast, but everybody who could was fasting. 14, then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. The sons of Asaph were singers among the Levites, and this Levite is descended from them. His name is Jahaziel, and he was filled with the Spirit of God while Jehoshaphat is praying this prayer. 15, and he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. So Jahaziel is now prophesying. Fear not ye, neither be dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. He is saying, God is going to fight this battle. It isn't for you to fight. There's many things in our lives that aren't for us to fight. Jesus will fight it for us if we just put our trust in him. It's his battle, not ours. 16, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the ascent of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the valley before the wilderness of Jeruel. God is telling them exactly where this army is located, the offending army. 17, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. He's telling them, go out to where I told you the army is, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and watch, because you're going to watch me destroy them. 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. 19, and the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with an exceeding loud voice. The Kohathites and the Korahites are both Levites. Some of them are in charge of singing, and some of them are in charge of working in the temple. And they started singing and praising the Lord as loudly as they could. So in that verse, they're all worshiping the Lord for his victory. And the battle hasn't even started, but they already believe that God will win their battle. So worship him before the battle starts. Believe now that he is going to give you that victory. 20, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. We need to believe all the prophets that were in the Bible, and if there's any true prophets today, we need to believe them. Unfortunately, most prophets today are disproved by their words and their actions, but if we do hear a true prophet, we need to believe. And they rose up early to go out where the Lord had told them to go, so they're full of faith. There's no hesitation. They really believe that they're going to see God win the battle. 21, and when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed them that should sing unto the Lord and praise in the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and say, give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Again, that phrase, this has to be a favorite saying of God, because King David said it, Solomon said it, now Jehoshaphat is saying it, and they always say it to worship the Lord, and remember it was said before his glory filled the temple. He loves this phrase. You and I should be saying this every single day. He's going to have singers praising and worshiping ahead of the army. Now, that's similar to when they marched around Jericho and the trumpets were ahead of them blowing in victory. 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set liers in wait against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir that were come against Judah, and they were smitten. 23, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. It says the Lord was the one who ambushed the soldiers of Ammon, Moab, and Seir, and that after the soldiers got ambushed and some of them were killed, that those soldiers started killing each other. The Ammonites and the Moabites started killing each other because they were so confused. So God must have put a spirit of confusion amongst the pagan soldiers, which is something he's done multiple times in the Old Testament. We've already seen him do this several times with opposing armies, where God made them so confused that they actually killed their fellow soldiers. Now, God didn't put the Israelites in ambush of these soldiers. It sounds like it was angels who ambushed the soldiers, because who else could it be? Because in this entire passage, it never describes any Israelites fighting, and in fact, it said that the Israelites would not have to fight. This ambush must have been done by angels. 24. And when Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked upon the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and there were none that escaped. All this time, Israel is marching toward where the soldiers are, and they have their Levite singers in the front singing praises and worship to the Lord, and repeating the verse, "The Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And in the meantime, while they're marching, the angels have ambushed the Ammonites and the Moabites, and then after that, the Ammonites and the Moabites became so confused that they killed each other completely. And when the Israelite army actually arrived to the battle scene and looked down in the valley on the soldiers, they saw that they were all dead. This is a beautiful victory for the Lord. And there were none that escaped. Not one person was left alive. 25, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take the spoil of them, meaning to take the valuables from the dead bodies, they found among them in abundance both riches and dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days in taking the spoil. It was so much. There was so much to take from the soldiers that it took 3 days to get it all out of that area. 26, and on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of that place was called the valley of Baraka unto this day. Baraka must mean blessing, because they blessed the Lord that day. Baraka must be a place in between Jerusalem and this valley that they had gone to. It was a halfway place where they stopped and blessed the Lord for winning the battle and making them richer because of it. You know, when God fights your battle, at the end, you'll be better off than you were before the battle began. 27, then they returned, every man to Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. They went back singing, shouting, and praising the Lord. This is like when God took the Israelites out of Egypt with all of the gold and silver that they got from their neighbors. 28, and they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. Those are musical instruments. The musicians and the singers were all busy praising the Lord. 29, and a terror from God was on all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. Now let's not forget how this all started. It started with fasting and prayer and faith. The people fasted, they prayed, they repented, and they believed that the Lord would help them. And they believed everything the Lord told them. If you start out every battle with fasting, prayer, and faith, God is definitely on your side. Now, this doesn't mean that our lives are going to be easy, but it does mean that evil will not prevail in our lives, and God will use evil for good in our lives. 30. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. The Lord gave Jehoshaphat's kingdom peace from its enemies after this time. Jehoshaphat is one of the best kings of Israel who ever lived. Now, he did sin when he went and fought alongside King Ahab, but so far we haven't read of any other sins that he's committed. So far he's been following the Lord very, very well, a lot like King David did. 31. And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 30 and 5 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 20 and 5 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shili. So Azubah was a good mother. She taught her son very well. I love it how the Bible gives credit and discredit to the good mothers and the bad mothers, because motherhood is a very important position in life. You have severe influence over your children as a mother, and God loves it when you raise them well, and he doesn't like it when you raise them badly. 32. And he walked in the way of Asa his father, and turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Asa was also a God-fearing king. Now, Asa sinned as well, but during most of his reign, he did fear the Lord. It was just in the end that he went bad, and that's very sad, because there's a verse in the Old Testament that you will be judged by how you are in the end. It actually says, if you sin and then you turn to the Lord, you will be saved, but if you are obeying the Lord, if you're righteous and then you turn to sin, you'll be lost. This is also spoken of in the New Testament, and Jesus said, be faithful to the end. So we need to be faithful every single day of our lives, all the way to the end. 33. Howbeit, the high places were not taken away, neither as yet had the people set their hearts unto the God of their fathers. Although Jehoshaphat himself was following the Lord, not all of the Israelites were. And the mounds that they had built for pagan altars were not taken down. It would have been better if those mounds had been taken down, but throughout most of the reigns of the kings of Judah and Israel, the mounds were allowed to stay in place. We still have mounds all over the world. That's where they had their pagan altars. 34. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last, behold, they are written in the words of Jehu, the son of Hanani, which is inserted in the book of the kings of Israel, which means we've already read it, because we already read 1 and 2 Kings. And part of 1 and 2 Kings was written by Jehu, who was the son of Hanani. So now we know who one of the authors of the books of Kings was. 35. And after this did Jehoshaphat king of Judah join himself with Ahaziah king of Israel. The same did very wickedly. 36. And he joined him with himself to make ships to go to Tarshish, and they made the ships in Ezion-Geber. Jehoshaphat wanted wealth from Tarshish, just as King Solomon had received wealth from Tarshish. But he's made an evil alliance with King Ahaziah of Israel in order to get this wealth. This is not good. So he's now sinning again by being in cahoots with the pagan practicing king of Israel. 37. Then Eliezer, the son of Dodavahu of Mareshah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath made a breach in thy works, and the ships were broken, that they were not able to go to Tarshish. The Lord judged against Jehoshaphat and broke his ships. I don't know how this happened. Maybe it was a storm, who knows what, but his ships were broken in half. Has God ever broken your ships because he didn't want you to sin? Well, just praise him for doing it, because it prevented you from sinning. And that also is the mercy of the Lord, that sometimes he'll slam a door in our face to prevent us from sinning. So I hope Jehoshaphat appreciated that. And that concludes 2 Chronicles chapter 20.